Good morning. Good to see everybody here this morning. This morning, we want to continue looking at themes from Proverbs that we've done in the last couple months. And I'm sorry, I did not get out the handout with the passages in them. So I'll try to make sure I go slow enough to where everybody can turn to the passages and look at them together. But how you speak, the words that you choose, is certainly a theme that runs throughout the book of Proverbs. And I'm going to start off by looking at Proverbs 18 and verse 21. That says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. The idea of those who love it, those who recognize the power of the tongue. So many times we say things, and we don't think it matters. We just kind of say whatever comes to our mind first. And that's always dangerous. We always get in trouble when we don't put much thought into the words we use. And sometimes we're in situations where we don't even realize how powerful our words are when they come upon others. And part of that has to do with the fact we don't always know what situations other people are going through. And we're going to talk more about that in a little bit. But we just need to recognize that words are powerful, and so if we're always careful with our words, it can mean a great deal. So we're going to talk about the consequences of our words. We're going to talk about what kind of speech is foolish and what kind is wise in the eyes of God. We'll start off with just a couple of general observations. Let's look at Proverbs 14, Proverbs 14 and verse 3. Proverbs 14 and verse 3, in the mouth of the wise, in the mouth of the foolish is a rod for his back, but the lips of the wise will protect them. Words can hurt you, or they can protect you. What do we mean by that? I want you to think about just an example of your word choices before authority figures. This can be as simple as your word choices before your parents. Can hurt you, or it can protect you. How you respond to your parents, how you treat them in the way that you talk to them. This can certainly be applied to other authority figures like the police or being before a judge. How you speak in those situations can determine sometimes whether you even receive a punishment at all. Sometimes they'll pass it off as a warning. Because you're respectful to them. I'll tell something on myself. One time, I was leaving from Memphis to go to Nashville early in the morning, and it was about the time that the school buses were picking up kids, and I pulled out of my neighborhood, and there was a school bus picking up some kids, and I just drove right past him. And in the other lane beside me, there was a police officer passing going the other direction, and I waved at him. And he pulled me over. He flipped a U-turn and pulled me over, and I was stunned. I didn't know what was going on. And he said something to the effect, his first words were something to the effects of something like, are you a jerk? Are you obnoxious? You know, something like that. He said, I have no idea what you're talking about. And he said, you pass the school bus that has the stop sign out, and at the same time you wave at me? Are you a smart aleck or something? And I said, I passed a school bus? I just didn't notice. I noticed him passing me in the other direction, so I waved at him, but I didn't notice the school bus over here. Well, he believed me. I still had to go to court for it. It was mandatory if you pass the school bus like that. But in court, the officer actually, in some ways, came to my defense and said that I was respectful to him. And he believed me when I said I didn't notice. And so the way that I talked to him affected how he responded to me and what the conclusion of that whole situation became. So words can hurt you or protect you. Your word choices before fools can hurt you or protect you. I want you to think about criminals. If someone catches you, you're walking down, and they pull you aside in an alley, and they've got a gun to you. How you talk to them, how you handle that situation can determine whether you come out of that situation alive. And so the same thing, we're going to talk in another lesson about quarrelsome people. And your words can protect you there. There are some people that are just looking for a fight. They're looking to argue. And we're going to spend a lesson on the things that the Lord hates that the Proverbs describe. And one of those things is people that cause strife, quarrelsome type of people. And how you handle those type of people and respond to them can hurt you or protect you. Well, let's look in Proverbs 18 and verse 7. Proverbs 18 and verse 7. A fool's mouth is his ruin, and his lips are the snare of his soul. I think the New International Version says that's another passage I'm thinking about. Anyways, so your words might be the reason that you find success in a situation, or it might be that your words are the things that cause you to fail in a situation. Your words become the snare that fouls up your efforts in whatever it is you're doing. Think about building a relationship. I think a lot of guys have found this out the hard way, that the way you talk to a woman can determine a lot about what they think about you and whether you're going to have a shot at building a relationship with her or not. And obviously this is true in marriage. Once the rings get put on, you can't just talk to each other however you want. That's going to inhibit you from being able to build a relationship, the kind of relationship that God wants us to have in our marriages. And so we need to think about the words we choose when we speak to each other. Your words can get you a job, or they can keep you from getting a job. People will tell you that in an interview, in the first few minutes, a boss can determine kind of by your demeanor and the first few words that you say whether you're really worthy of being hired or not. And a lot of times the more you talk can also back up that first impression. And so words can be our success or be our failure in getting a job. Probably most importantly, we need to think that your words can bring someone to Christ. Your words can bring someone back to Christ. Your words can push people far away from Christ. And then sometimes we think, well, it doesn't really matter in the end how I do. People should do what's right in the end. And yes, people will answer for their choices. There are some people who look at Christians and the sins that Christians commit towards each other and towards them in the way that they talk and how they treat them, and they say, well, I'm not going there. Well, we have to love truth and seek truth no matter how people treat us or not. But the Bible emphasizes just as much that if we are the ones that push people away, as Jesus said, if we're the ones that cause people to stumble, then the millstone is hung around our neck. And so we're going to be judged for the way that we treat and talk to others just the same. And so do we want to be successful in bringing someone to Christ or back to Christ? Or do our words push those people away? So your words might help you find success or failure. Let's look at Proverbs chapter 12. Proverbs chapter 12, verses 13 and 14. Proverbs 12, beginning in verse 13. An evil man is ensnared by the transgression of his lips, but the righteous will escape from trouble. A man will be satisfied with good by the fruit of his words, and the deeds of a man's hands will return to him. This is the passage I was thinking about a minute ago, and that the New International Version, I like the way that it puts it. It says that a man can be trapped by his words. And that's true. I think probably many of us here have probably experienced that, how we've trapped ourselves in a situation. We've brought problems on ourselves by the way that we speak to others. But on the other hand, he says that the way that we speak can be a source of blessing to us. We'll be satisfied with the good, with good by the fruit of his words. And so our words have a lot to do with our own life, whether we experience blessing or trouble. And then as a final general observation, look at Proverbs 23. Proverbs 23 and verse 15. Sometimes we forget that a lot of Proverbs seems to be Solomon and some others writing to their children and trying to instruct them the ways of life. So parents, I want you to think about Proverbs 23 and verses 15 and 16. My son, if your heart is wise, my own heart also will be glad, and my inmost being will rejoice when your lips speak what is right. Have you ever been around a person and the thing that they said just made you cringe? You know, how could anybody say something like that? How could anybody talk like that? And sometimes I'm around some young people that, you know, I do some subbing from time to time in the schools around here. And some things that sometimes the kids say, I'm just like, did your parents not teach you any better to talk like that? And I'm not even just talking about cursing. I'm talking about the things that they talk about, how they talk about other people. And they seem to be oblivious of the fact of talking about these things in front of other people. And parents, I want you to understand, first of all, what he's saying is, he gets joy when he hears his son say good things, say right things, say appropriate things. And so the opposite of that is that it should pain us when our children do not speak appropriately and they make people cringe with the way that they talk. And so I want to encourage us as parents, we need to first of all pay attention. Sometimes we just, it's just kids talking. Well, yeah, it's kids talking, and they're not going to change being kids. There's a lot of adults out there that still talk like kids who don't know any better because their parents haven't taught them. And so first of all, we need to pay attention to how our kids talk, the words that they use, how they speak to others like people in authority figures. Second of all, we need to correct them. You hear them saying something that's wrong? Don't talk like that. Give them also suggestions. Here's what you should have said in that situation. And probably one of the most important things is we need to be good examples for our children. How we talk to others. How we talk about others. How do we talk about Christians around our kids? And a lot of times that applies to how we talk about, you know, his sermon today was terrible, or the elders made a bad decision, or we need to be careful how we talk about others before our kids. They're going to learn from us. And so, do your kids bring you joy or pain when they open their mouth? Well, first of all, we want to also speak words that are worth hearing. I want you to turn to Proverbs 15. Proverbs 15 and verse 2. And just think about the question, what do people expect when you open your mouth? Do they expect they're going to get something good out of it? Or do they expect that it's just time to tune out because you're the one that's talking now? Proverbs 15 and verse 2. The tongue of the wise makes knowledge acceptable, but the mouth of fools spouts folly. Verse 7. The lips of the wise spread knowledge, but the hearts of fools are not so. Do people value your words? Do they know that when you speak, you're going to be spreading knowledge? You're going to be spreading something that's worth listening to? Or do they just know, you know, you're just spouting off the first thing that comes to your mind? And it may be worth something sometimes, but maybe a lot of times it's not. And so connected to that, Proverbs 17 and verse 27, how much thought do you put into something before you speak about it? Proverbs 17 and verse 27. He who restrains his words has knowledge, and he who has a cool spirit is a man of understanding. He who restrains his words has knowledge. Do people know that when you speak, it's worth listening because you always put a lot of thought into it? You're not just, as he talked about in the other passage, spouting off whatever, spouting off folly. But when you open your mouth, you've put a lot of thought into it. I'm guilty of this sometimes. Of just, you know, first thing that comes to my mind. We need to put a lot of thought into how we talk. Especially when it comes to the scriptures. When it comes to things we're talking about biblically. And make sure we're saying things in an appropriate way. Remember James 3 and verse 1, that not many of you should become teachers, my brethren, because you will endure a stricter judgment. Why is that? Because we're talking about the most important thing that we can talk about. So do we put thought into our words? How about Proverbs 28 and verse 23? Proverbs 28 and verse 23. He who rebukes a man will afterward find more favor than he who flatters with the tongue. Why do we flatter people? A lot of times it's because we want something back out of them. But this proverb teaches that more often than not, it's the person who is honest with you. That you know it's not just, you know, they're just trying to figure out a way to flatter you. They're just trying to say something nice to you, but they're honest with you in everything, whether it's good or bad. That person is the one that is actually going to receive more favor, because the person learns over time. When they tell me something, I know they mean it. They're not just saying, how does this outfit look on me? Oh, it's the best outfit I've ever seen. You know, when in reality, they need to get a second and third opinion before they put any clothes on. You know, we need to be honest with people, because flattery is, you know, you say you flatter somebody with something, and then they realize, they come across an honest person, and they realize what you said was just flattery. It was really worthless. It didn't do them any good for you just to say something nice about them when it wasn't even true. And so can people expect to become better by your honesty? Or do you just try to flatter even when it's undeserved? Well, in Proverbs 10, verses 20 and 21, these are the kinds of words, kinds of communication we want to have come out of our mouths. Proverbs 10 and verse 20. The tongue of the righteous is as choice silver. The heart of the wicked is worth little. The lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for lack of understanding. Again, the New International Version in verse 21, it says the words of the righteous are nourishing to many. Same concept, but that just kind of helps us think about it a little bit. Do our words nourish people? Does it make them better? Does it make them stronger? How does it affect them? Does it? If it doesn't do anything at all, then they're worthless. And we certainly don't want words that tear people down. We want words that nourish people, that strengthen them. And that's similar to what Paul said in Ephesians 4 and verse 29 about, let no unwholesome word come out of your mouth, but only such as is good for edification, for building up. That's the kind of words that we want coming out of our mouths, nourishing words. Well, let's talk about slander and gossip for a little bit. And we'll begin in Proverbs 10 and verse 18. He who conceals hatred has lying lips, and he who spreads slander is a fool. I want you to think about those, how those are connected. You conceal hatred, but you spread slander. To me, it paints a picture that I'm in a dispute, I'm in an argument, I'm upset with someone, and instead of going to them, instead of trying to work it out, what I do is I try to run them down before other people. I conceal my hatred and I spread slander. And so we can choose to make a bad situation worse by gossiping or spreading slander, or we can make it better. We can try. We can do what we can to make it better. We can go to them. We can try to work it out. But there's never a reason when we need to be slanderous of others. What about in chapter 11 and verse 13? Chapter 11 and verse 13. He who goes about as a talebearer reveals secrets, but he who is trustworthy conceals a matter. The New International Version says that he who gossips betrays confidence. And it's, you know, a talebearer reveals secrets. Why does somebody tell you a secret? Because they trust you. They wanted to entrust that to you. They wanted you to know about it. They wanted you to be able to talk to them about it. And so if we go and tell others about it, what have we done? We've betrayed their confidence. When people trust us enough to tell us their secrets, we need to treasure that trust, not betray it by going and telling it to others. Chapter 20 and verse 19 has a very similar thought to it. Proverbs 20 and verse 19. He who goes about as a slanderer reveals secrets. Therefore, do not associate with a gossip. Don't associate with those type of people. They're going to betray you. Proverbs 16 and verse 28. Proverbs 16 and verse 28. A perverse man spreads strife, and a slanderer separates intimate friends. And then look in 17 and verse 29. I'm sorry, that should be 17 and verse 9. He who conceals a transgression seeks love, but he who repeats a matter separates intimate friends. Sometimes you're going to find out things and maybe you weren't supposed to know. Maybe one side of it doesn't care whether you know about it or not. But unless someone specifically asks you, and even then I would question about whether you should get involved. When we tell people things, and it may be, sometimes there's some wisdom involved in this. There are some situations where somebody needs to know something and it's not getting told them. And so you do have to use wisdom and you need to pray about it. But many times we get involved in a situation and it causes destruction rather than help. We destroy relationships. We separate friends because we go and tell things that really just wasn't our business to tell. And we need to be careful of that. We don't want to be the type of person that destroys. We want a type of person that promotes love and unity between ourselves and others. And then Proverbs 18 and verse 8. The words of a whisperer are like dainty morsels, and they go down into the innermost parts of the body. If you're like me, then you like chocolate. And I've mentioned this a time or two before. And it was Sandy. Sandy made me some fudge not too long ago. And she said that she remembered from one of my other lessons that I said I like chocolate. So it would do you all well to all remember that. But if you're like me, you like chocolate, and I especially like dark chocolate. And, you know, when it's a good quality dark chocolate, it just goes in and it just makes you feel good to eat it. Well, that's the temptation with gossip. I know something, I can tell somebody else about it, and they don't know it. So I'm privileged to have this information more than other people. It's something that maybe will surprise somebody a little bit, give them a little shock to know this about this other. So it's exciting to tell things about other people. So it's like a dainty morsel, and it just melts in your mouth on the way down. We need to be careful of that temptation. Most of the time, the secrets we know need to be kept to us. There's very few extreme situations where people don't find out about things and they need to know about it. So we need to use a lot of judgment and not get caught up in the excitement of gossip. Well, we can speak hurtful words or we can speak healing words. Proverbs 12 and verse 18. Proverbs 12 and verse 18. There is one who speaks rashly like the thrusts of a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. Which one of those do you want to be? The kind that when you say to something, it feels like you just stabbed them? Or the kind that you can heal a person? You can renew a person by the way that you talk to them. Look at Proverbs 15 and verse 4. Proverbs 15 and verse 4. A soothing tongue is a tree of life, but perversion in it crushes the spirit. You know, if we think about what would he mean when he uses the tree of life in this way? Well, you think about the tree of life in the garden. By what we know happened when the people were removed from the tree of life, removed from the garden, they were no longer able to live forever, is what God said. And so that tells us that partaking of the fruit of the tree of life, it renewed them, it strengthened them, it enabled them to keep going. And so, a soothing tongue is a tree of life. When we think about how we talk to people and we try to speak comforting words and building up words and strengthening words, then we enable them to keep going. But perversion in it crushes the spirit. We use perversion today in a limited way, but what he means is just any kind of wrongful speech crushes the spirit. So do your words strengthen or do they crush? And again, I want to apply this specifically to parents, because it's so important that while our kids are growing up, that the things we say strengthens them. And doesn't crush their spirit. Like the Apostle Paul says in Ephesians chapter 6, that fathers shouldn't provoke anger in their children. Or the way he puts it in Colossians is that fathers shouldn't exasperate their children. But we should instruct them and try to build them up, to train them up in the ways of the Lord. And so even in discipline, we need to think about the words that we use and the tone of our voice and whether we're crushing to our kids or strengthening. How about Proverbs 15 and verse 1? Back up a few verses. A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Pleasant words can heal a bad situation and promote pressing on and learning from that situation. Look at Proverbs 16 and verse 21 along these same lines. Proverbs 16 and verse 21. The wise in heart will be called understanding, and sweetness of speech increases persuasiveness, or increases learning is another way to translate that. In verse 24, pleasant words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. And so when we try to have pleasant words and comforting words and good words, it can take a situation where people are hurt. Maybe somebody has just gone through something. Maybe they've They're experiencing cancer, for instance. And maybe it's just really brought them down. Maybe it's caused doubts about their faith. The way we talk to them in that situation can really determine whether they're able to get back up and keep going, or whether they're brought down further. Are our words pleasant words, sweet words that heal them and promote them to learn from the experience instead of being torn down by the experience? Are they hurtful or are they healing words? Do they promote instruction or do they increase doubt in someone's heart? Proverbs 26 and verse 2. Proverbs 26 and verse 2. One important thing I meant to mention with that last point is, again, having to do with parents. Sometimes we think that being harsh is the only way that a child can learn. But that's certainly not true. And oftentimes, it's when we learn to, yes, discipline, but say things in a pleasant way that actually promotes learning. It promotes persuasiveness. It promotes instruction. Okay, Dad, I see your way. Okay, Mom, I understand what you mean. But many times we can just pound it and it just causes them to be upset, and they're not listening to anything we say. So we need to be careful with that. Proverbs 26 and verse 2, like a sparrow in its flitting, like a swallow in its flying, so a curse without cause does not alight. This could mean a lot of things and apply to a lot of situations, but I especially want us to think about when we take out anger on others. We're upset by a situation, and we're angry by a situation. It's undeserved. We don't have a cause for cursing, for being angry at someone else, and yet that's exactly what we do. Those are hurtful words, and those are sinful words. And we need to be careful that that's not the way we're speaking to others. I want to talk about appropriate speech, or you might say appropriate silence. And this is the last point I want to look at. And it really kind of sums up what we're talking about. Are our words appropriate for the occasion? Or maybe is it more appropriate not to have any words at all? In Proverbs 10 and verse 19. Proverbs 10 and verse 19. He who is steadfast... that's wrong chapter. Proverbs 10 and verse 19. When there are many words, transgression is unavoidable, but he who restrains his lips is wise. When there are many words, transgression is unavoidable, and he who restrains his lips are wise. And then look at chapter 27 and verse 14. Chapter 27 and verse 14. He who blesses his friend with a loud voice early in the morning, it will be reckoned a curse to him. I want you to think about, sometimes the way we talk is just not appropriate because it's annoying. Do we, as Christians, we may think it's not a big deal, but do we really want to be people that are annoying? Think about the first person. You know, it's talking about where there are many words, transgression is unavoidable. When we talk too much, a lot of times it gets us into trouble, and a lot of times it gets us into sin. But a lot of times when we talk too much, it's just simply annoying. And we need to be careful of that. First of all, one of the most important things about a conversation is that it's something that happens between two people or more people. And so when we're the one that's always talking, we're not very pleasant to be around. Or we choose to act a certain way at certain times. It's just not good for others. You know, even a blessing said loudly early in the morning can be taken as a curse by the person that's receiving it. Some people are morning people, other people are not. And there's a certain extent where we have to get over that. We have to accept responsibility. And if we're not a morning person, we still got to get up and go to school. We still got to get up and go to work. But that may not change the fact that we are struggling to get over it. That may not change the fact that it still bothers us. And so we want to be the kind of people that are pleasant to be around. We respect others' feelings. We try not to be a curse, but we want to really be a blessing. And so sometimes just being annoying is never appropriate. And so we need to think about, and there are other ways in which that can be described. Proverbs 17, 27 and 28. He who restrains his words has knowledge, and he who has a cool spirit is a man of understanding. Even a fool, when he keeps silent, is considered wise. When he closes his lips, he is considered prudent. Knowing when to keep quiet is a type of wisdom. It may be simple as recognizing somebody's, if it's early in the morning, somebody's not ready to talk yet. It may be recognizing how someone handles a certain situation. It may be trying to understand if someone's going through a certain situation. Job's friends, for all of their flaws, one of the things that they did best, at least in the beginning, was they just came and sat quietly with him while he was going through all that. Even a fool, when he keeps quiet, is considered wise. So knowing when to be quiet is a type of wisdom. And we need to try to attain that wisdom. Chapter 15 and verse 23. Chapter 15 and verse 23. A man has joy in an apt answer, and how delightful is a timely word. Chapter 25 and verse 11. Chapter 25 and verse 11. How delightful is a timely word, he said. And then in chapter 25 and verse 11, like apples of gold and settings of silver is a word spoken in right circumstances. Again, it's similar. We need to know when to be quiet in certain situations, and we need to try to figure out the appropriate thing to say in certain situations. It's kind of like we discussed earlier. Maybe someone that's hurting. Maybe they've lost a loved one. Maybe they're going through something, going through kinds of struggles. Saying the appropriate words in that context can be a powerful tool. It can help them maybe not fall into complete doubt. It can help them to make the choice to come to Christ or come back to Christ. It can help them make the choice to resolve problems in their marriage. It can help them to make the choice to not give up, not let the situation beat them down. So an apt word, an appropriate word, is a powerful thing. And it's a beautiful thing to those that really need it. Last but not least, chapter 18 and verse 13. Chapter 18 and verse 13. What's the key to knowing when to be quiet and knowing the appropriate words to say? Proverbs 18 and verse 13. He who gives an answer before he hears, it is folly and shame to him. He who gives an answer before he hears. Listening is valuable. It's valuable in relationships. It's valuable in being able to help people in various situations. We need to be people that learn how to listen. Now, I think most of us probably know. Go over to James. And James talks about this in James chapter 1 and James chapter 3. Our words need to be few. We need to listen to what's going on. And when we do talk, it needs to be words that are worth hearing. It needs to be something that's appropriate, that's valuable to the one that we're talking to, not just something that just flies out of our mouth. The Proverbs teach us we need to choose our words wisely.